Thank you for joining us for our broadcast today. My name is Ben Bailey.
We live in a world where many people think that you can worship God in just about any way that you want. In fact, the motto for this type of worship might be, if it feels good, do it. But is that what God says about worship? What is worship? What is worship all about? Worship is a very serious matter, and the Bible does have much to say about it. Today we're going to examine what the New Testament says Christians are to do to glorify and uplift the name of God in their worship. As we think about worship, we can understand very clearly what worship is. The Bible gives us several scriptures that describe the nature of worship. In Psalm 29, verse 2, we're told to give the Lord the glory due His name. We honor the name of God in the way that He has told us to. There's a passage in Psalm 95, 6 that is almost a perfect description of the word for worship. The Bible says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. The Greek word for worship literally means to bow down, to be subject to someone, to pay honor and homage to. Sometimes the illustration be one bowing down with their face to the ground in subjection to a magistrate or a leader. The same is true as it relates to God. God is the King. We are to bow down in honor and worship Him. But there's a specific way in which we are to do that. John 4:24 tells us how. God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. But friends, there's an alarming danger that we must be careful of in our worship. Worship can be in one of two extremes. Our worship, if we're not careful, can be solely entertainment-based and man-oriented. For example, an advertisement came out in local paper for a Vacation Bible School worship service. It said, come join us for our Vacation Bible School. There'll be clowns, balloons, there'll be a circus, and if we beat last year's attendance, our preacher will kiss a pig. Now friends, I want you to think about that type of worship. Is that really what God wants? Another example is found where a group was singing and their title of the song was Rapping with J.C. and the Boys. J.C. was Jesus Christ. Now friends, is that really what God wants us to do in worship? Does God want us to be circus and entertainment oriented and to be rapping with Jesus Christ? That's not at all what God wants us to do. That's a worship that has become solely entertainment based and man oriented. But then there can be another extreme. Our worship may be conservative. That is, it may be founded upon the Bible, but it may be lifeless. It may be biblical, but boring. It may be doctrinally right, but it may be dead. Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. We find a congregation that had lost its first love. They were told to repent and do the first works again. Maybe they had got rote in their worship. Maybe they got in a rut. Maybe they were just doing things out of habit. And so on one extreme, it can be entertainment-based only. On the other extreme, it can be dead and without heart and have no life in it. What pleases God is a worship that is both in spirit from the heart and is according to the truth. That's what Jesus taught in John chapter 4 and verse 24. And so as we think about worship, and we ask the question, what is worship? Worship, of course, is defined as paying honor or glorifying God. You know, even the devil knows what worship is. For in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 9, he teaches us as he tempts Jesus about the nature of worship. The devil said to Jesus, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Even the devil knew that worship meant to pay honor to fall down, to give glory to someone. And thus, true worship entails that all who are a part of that must participate. Worship is not an option. Worship is not something you can do if you feel like it or if you think you're good at it. We need to understand that God is the audience in our worship. We are not the audience. We are not there to be entertained. God is the audience. We are the participants. That teaches me a very important lesson. If God is the audience, then guess what? Worship is not about me. Worship is about God. I need to ask, if God is the audience and my worship is to glorify Him, I need to ask the question, how does God want me to worship Him? God is being glorified. It's His book that we're studying from. And therefore, I've got to ask, what does the Lord say about me worshiping Him? As we think about worship, we also understand that we are the participants in this worship. Again, God is the audience. We are the participants. John 4:24 teaches us how God expects us to worship Him. Notice what Jesus said. God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. Since we are the participants, worship is a must. Again, we're not here to be entertained during worship. Now, I've heard people say, well, I just don't get anything out of worship. Maybe it's because they're not putting anything into worship. How alarming it is to see people who claim to be members of the Lord's body, who claim to love the Lord, sitting there like a lump on a log during worship and doing nothing. Friends, do you think that glorifies God? How do you think it makes God feel when He sees people who claim to be His children during a worship service that is designed to praise and magnify His name, sitting there doing absolutely nothing? Remember, God's the audience. We are the participants, and we must worship according to His will. As we think about worship, we need to ask the question, who? Who should we worship? Who should we worship in this life? Should we worship men? Should we worship God? Can we worship anything that we desire? No, absolutely not. Our God is the sole object of worship. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 5, God says, "You shall have no other gods beside Me." There's only one God, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 teaches, and we must worship and give glory unto Him. Notice what Jesus said as it relates to worshiping God in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10. Jesus, in response to the devil, said, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve.'" John 9, verse 31, the blind man said, "We know that if anyone hears God and worships Him, or loves God and worships Him, he's a doer of His will, that God hears his prayer." We worship God. Hebrews 12, verses 28 9, and 29, we worship Him acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. Revelation 19:10 teaches that we don't worship men, that we must only give God the glory due His name. As we think about worship, we need to understand that there are certain things, especially that sometimes people worship, that we should not worship today. For example, we need not worship departed saints. In Acts chapter 10, verses 25 and 26, Peter, a Jew, has come into the house of Cornelius, a Gentile. Cornelius, being so overwhelmed that a Jew would come and teach him the gospel, he bows down and falls down to worship him. And Peter said this, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." You know, a lot of people today want to worship Peter or Mother Teresa or some departed saint. Yet Peter, who was an apostle, who opened the kingdom with the keys in Acts chapter 2, said, "Don't worship me, I'm just a man." We don't worship angels either. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6, the worship of angels is forbidden. We're to worship the Son of God, not angels who are simply ministering spirits sent to minister to those who will receive salvation. We can't worship parents, and parents can't worship children. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, Jesus said, "He who loves father or mother more than me, he who loves son or daughter more than me, he's not worthy of me." And we sure don't need to worship false gods and idols and things of that nature. Statues of other gods or people, we don't worship that. For 1 John 5, verse 21 teaches us to abstain from idol worship. What then do Christians worship? What should be our attitude in our worship? Let's examine this for just a moment. What should be the Christian's attitude as he worships the God of heaven? Well, let's notice again a passage that teaches us this in John chapter 4 and verse 24. Notice what Jesus said about the Christian's attitude in worship. Jesus says, "God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth." What's the attitude that a Christian has? Our attitude should be spiritual in nature. New Testament worship is spiritual in its very nature from the core or from everything we see in the New Testament. For example, 1 Peter 2 and verse 25 says that we are to offer spiritual sacrifices unto God. We learn that in Hebrews 10 verse 22, we're to draw near unto God with our heart. That's how we draw near to God, through the words of the Bible, and as we worship Him with our whole heart. We draw near to God with grace in our hearts. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, and Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. The Christian's worship ought to be enthusiastic. It ought not to be dry and dead and boring. Our singing ought to be enthusiastic, something that encourages us. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15 teaches this. We sing with the Spirit and we sing with the understanding. Our giving ought to be a great joy and something that brings enthusiasm to our lives. For 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 8 teaches that God loves a cheerful giver. Preaching itself ought to be enthusiastic because we're proclaiming the joyous message of God. Paul said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 following. Our praying ought to be with enthusiasm and it ought to be heartfelt. You read the prayers of men like Daniel or Nehemiah or Ezra, and you can hear the enthusiasm, the joy, the heartfelt emotion that is involved in their prayers. Yes, they're praying according to God's will, but they're also praying with the right attitude. And thus we learn that Christian worship is truly from the heart. You know, the proper attitude in worship would really cure a lot of things. It would cure singing, I'll go where you want me to go, and never going across the road to talk to your neighbor. You know, if we really had the right attitude as we sang songs about evangelism, it would motivate us to get up out of the pew and go teach someone about the gospel. Singing more about Jesus, what I know, and give me the Bible would motivate us to want to be great students of God's Word. Now we ask a very important question, and that is, what guide do we use in our worship? What is the guide for our worship today? Is our worship guided by books of men? Is it guided by creeds that people throughout the centuries have written? Is our worship guided by oral tradition? What is the guide for our worship today? Friends, we need to be certain that the books of men are not our authority today. We do not follow the books of men. The truth of God's Word is our standard in worship. John 17, verse 17 teaches us, sanctify them by your truth, your Word is truth. John 1, 17, the law came through Moses, but grace and truth are found in Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 8, 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Since the truth is God's Word, and we're to worship in spirit and truth, we must realize that we have to worship by the Word of God. And so we must use the Book of God in our worship. Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. There's a real important passage that I want us to look at as it relates to our guide in worship. And it's found in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Paul, after he has spoken about singing, says this, and whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. This idea of doing all in the name of the Lord doesn't simply mean that we say in Jesus' name right before we do everything or right after we do everything. The idea of doing something in the name of the Lord means that it has His approval on it. For example, Acts chapter 4 and verse 7, Peter and James were questioned, by what authority or by what power have you done these things? In what name did you do this? And they responded by saying, in the name of Jesus, by His authority and by His power. And so whatever we do in word or deed, we've got to have the Lord's stamp of approval upon that. Friends, are you worshiping God as the Bible teaches? Are you worshiping God according to His will? Or are you worshiping God according to human tradition? According to man-made ideas? We learn in Hebrews 12 and verse 28 that we need to be grateful for receiving the kingdom which cannot be shaken, and we need to worship God with reverence and godly fear. May God help each one of us to glorify Him in the way that He wants, and then we know that He'll be pleased with our worship.